welcome back to Carrie Davis Munro, who is a well-being coach. She works with individuals, she works with diverse organizations, she works with schools, and one of her greatest talents, I think, knowing her both personally and professionally, is her ability to really move people from one stage to another. So, you know, there are so many people who are able to talk and discourse, but I think what Carrie does so well is she really gets to the center and the core of what it is that you need to do to shift yourself and to change. So I am so grateful to have you back, Carrie. What we're going to talk about today is managing emotions, particularly those emotions that are negative for us, but we can discuss that in a moment, what that actually means. And I guess I'd list off the top there, you know, anger, fear, insecurity, jealousy, these emotions that we know are making us act perhaps in ways that we shouldn't, or react in ways that are detrimental to us. And I think I'll just start our conversation off today by saying, well, aren't we so interested these days in exploring our emotions? I mean, and is that even a good thing in itself? I mean, that's obviously what we're doing in this podcast series, in our app, in all everything we do and everything you do. It's all about exploring and unpacking emotions and feeling the emotions. And is that, you know, we come from culturally decades of people telling us to shut that down. So is all of this letting it out actually any good?
Well, look, you know me, I'm interested in behavior change. I'm interested in people living their optimal life. So that means, you know, we can't be happy all the time, but it certainly means being as happy as they possibly can. And actually, for me, this starts with the first part of behavior change. So it's about becoming aware, having that self-awareness of your thoughts, your feelings, your responses, your reactions, your behaviors. So we can either walk in the dark day by day, we can be on the treadmill and we can just fall through life, or we can decide that actually, no, I'm going to take a little bit of control in life and I'm going to take control of who I am. And that requires some getting to know yourself, some getting to know why your thoughts are there, you know, what they're doing to you, what reaction it's having in your body, because it has a knock-on effect in your body. We're not just a head on legs, yeah? And what do we want to do? So this is about waking from unconscious to conscious. Funnily enough, you know, you're asking me that. I've just got on a call. I'm running a leadership program. And the first part of the leadership program is getting to know your emotions, tracking your emotions, and waking up and becoming self-aware. So it's absolutely vital that we are aware of our emotions, our feelings, and thoughts, because, Nicola, obviously, we have a big impact on the people around us. So if we are a leader and we're not in control, or even not even aware of our mood and what we're feeling, then we can have a very negative effect upon the people we're around. So it's a choice. We can sleepwalk through life, or we can be awake, we can do the work. And as I see this, we talked about this before, this is a kindness, knowing yourself, knowing your triggers, knowing what sways you, and how to work through it so that it best supports you.
Do you think it's true to say, though, if we even backpedal a little bit, that quite a lot of individuals, perhaps not so much the younger generation, but maybe people of, I don't know, 35, 40 and up, they don't want to wake up because, you know what, life is pretty hard already. So, you know, responsibilities, financial, caring responsibilities, absolutely exhausted and overwhelmed. And somebody saying to them, well, you know, you've got to do the work. You've got to, you know, wake up. That feels in itself overwhelming. What would we say to these individuals that we're trying to encourage to not only manage their emotions, let's start with just exploring their emotions and their thoughts?
Yeah, well, I guess it's what do you have to gain for everything? You know, as a behavior coach, we have to psychologically set people up for success. And in order to do that, it's not like a New Year's resolution where you say, right, okay, today I'm going to explore my emotions. We say, okay, well, what are the outcomes that you could possibly get from this? What's the benefit? What's to be gained here? How could we upgrade both your life and those around you? How can we upgrade your feelings? Yeah. If we are feeling in low mood, how do we move you? And I use a grid to do this literally with people. But it's about understanding that there is a benefit. And for me, you know, there's a downside. If we lock everything away inside us, and for all of us, you know, we are all dealing with different things. And for most people I coach with, they've gone through some trauma. That might be some of the trauma that we recognize generally, you know, when people go through maybe a near-death experience. One of my colleagues been through a near-death experience, and myself too, on the operating table. We come out of these experiences, and if we lock all that trauma inside, and you know, Gabor Mate talks about this all the time in his recent book, then actually what happens is at some point it can explode. And that's in a situation that then is completely out of our control.
And it makes me think of the book, you know, The Body Keeps the Score. And I'm sure some listeners will be familiar with that. So your body is literally keeping a scorecard of all these repressed emotions, so and traumas, and you know, squashing down, I suppose, of how you're feeling. And I always describe it like whack-a-mole. If you keep squashing it down, it just keeps popping up somewhere else in the form of something else or in the same form, and you're just always diving away from it. So at some point it's worth stopping, because I think, you know, in this series of podcasts, there's no getting away from the fact that this isn't just a case of, I'll think about it for a minute and then I'll change my mindset. This is definitely a case of, you're going to have to take a little bit of time to do this, and something has going to have to give, because there's only 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week. And if you're already a busy person, to do the work and transform how you respond, your thoughts, your emotions, you know, you're going to have to put in some time and effort. And I think, you know, some people find that a little bit overwhelming, as I say. Okay, so we're talking about the importance of feeling emotions first, and we're moving this conversation into the more empowering, accountable phrase, which is to manage those emotions. So we have to at first feel them. We have to know they're there, and we have to probably name them. And in fact, you know, I'm sure many of you with children or caring responsibilities for young people will recognize that phrase of, you know, name your emotion. We need to do it for ourselves. And we're saying, yes, it's important to feel these emotions, but then how about the fact that we can manage them, we can control them to some extent? And I think one of your philosophies or mottos is, you know, if we manage our emotions, we're in control of our life. Now, that's, you know, huge. Tell me about that, Carrie.
Well, I think, you know, if we manage and we recognize our emotions, then we are in control of our life. So I guess I'm not over exaggerating when I say if we are able to do that, and I think if we are able to extrapolate that, the world would be a better place, because we would start to think about not just reacting to situations, yeah, which can be, we have absolutely zero time between something happening to us and reacting. And we can choose to have some golden space, or what I call golden space, in between something happening and the chosen response. So we
A
make far
pause.
more appropriate decisions about what has just happened. Now, if we're able to do that, I think we could eliminate road rage. I think we could eliminate all of the nastiness that happens on social media and the victimization. I think, you know, again, extrapolate that on a much bigger level. We could eliminate much of the conflict that goes on in the world, because it's not always something, again, if we look back in 3 weeks' time, and this is something that I've just said to a client, if we act in and under our values, and if we're aware of how things trigger us, because this is what it is with our emotions, then we are able to stop, let that simmer for a minute, let it percolate, and then make an appropriate reaction. Or I should say, I choose a this response.
So it's
about being far more in control. And that, again, is when your son comes home from school and he leaves mud all through the house, take a minute. What am I feeling? I'm feeling disrespected. I'm feeling disregarded. What am I going to do? Am I just going to scream at him? Or am I going to choose to maybe take a moment, hand him the dustpan and brush and say, did you see that you managed to do this when you came home? How do you think you can make this better for me? You know, there's a way of upgrading our relationships, whether that's at work where we see, you know, workplace bullying, or whether it's in the home, whether it's with our partner. It's, again, this recognition that I'm going through this emotion and this is because I've got this need going on, and that will have that effect on you. But the, you know, I'm not over exaggerating when I say that I just think the world could be a better place, because if we manage our emotions, we change our whole behaviors and we are far more in control, Nicola.
And, you know, we're changing our behaviors, we're changing our reactions, but we're also changing our relationships with colleagues, loved ones, family,
yeah.
and people that we make contact with every day. And as you say, how, you know, there's nothing more important. Okay, so we need to be able to recognize emotion, and then we need to be able to take a pause, step, and think before we react, and be more of in control of our reactive emotions, I suppose. And you talk about there being just 7 basic emotions. So if we're going to name them, what are they? What are these 7 basic emotions?
Yeah, this is really interesting, because I work a lot with clients about recognizing what is a positive emotion, and we're going to come to this, but what triggers a really brilliant set of chemicals in my body that makes me feel good, and what's a negative emotion which triggers chemicals in my body which can be damaging. And when we look at the 7 emotions, it's really predominantly in one direction. So we've got happy, yeah, and then off of happy we've got, oh my goodness me, we've got a whole myriad of positive emotions, so proud, confident, creative, thankful, lots of really positive emotions off of happy. And I always say to people, happiness is, it's one of those things, it has to be your definition. So what makes us happy, that could be all sorts of things. Then the opposite of that, we've got sad. Mm-hmm. And off of that, again, we've got first round emotions, second round emotions. So we've got everything from despair, grief, emptiness. But we've also got, which we've seen pop up again with things like social media, embarrassment, yeah, playing small, and disappointment, despair. So sad is, again, one whole area. And then we've got fearful, and fear is huge. This incorporates everything from anxiety, because anxiety is a fear, an underlying fear of something, weakness, being threatened, rejected, worried, again, a myriad of emotions, overwhelm, overthinking. This is fearful. And then we've got anger. Now, I'm going to say none of these things, I don't say any emotion is a bad thing. We want to feel all of them. We want to call them out. If you don't name them, you can't deal with them. So anger, we need to know what we feel anger about, because often it will say to us, hold on a minute, you've got a need that hasn't been fulfilled here, or you've got a trigger. Someone has just pressed that button. Why? Why does that do that to you? Yeah. And one of the things I clearly say to people is, what just happened there? Really simple journaling exercise. What just happened there? How did it make you feel? What are you going to do about it? Because we feel better when we take action. What mood do you want to be in instead? Mood follows action. What action do you need to take to put you in the mood that you really want to be in? So anger could be anything from distant, critical, mad, bitter, furious, jealousy. Mm. Yeah. All part of that. And then we've got disgusted. So we've got the repelled, which you'd think. Then we've got disapproving. But again, we've got embarrassed in here. Yeah. When people make us feel small, not good enough. Yeah, we're disgusted with ourselves. And oh my goodness me, that's a hard emotion. So revolted, that might be revolted about us going out and, I don't know, doing something that we then regret. So disgusted is a difficult set of emotions too. And then we've got bad. So happy, sad, and bad. And bad can again mean anything from stress, anxiety, and overwhelm to, which again, you'd think, well, are these feelings or are these emotions? But tired, exhausted, sleepy. Yeah. And then the last one of all, which, you know, I guess I'm hearing myself talk predominantly, I'm talking about, you know, difficult emotions. Then we've got surprise. So surprise could be because somebody's given us something and we're feeling elated. We're feeling, you know, blessed and the self-esteem goes up. Or we're surprised because somebody has actually done something which has shocked us. We are, again, feeling disrespected. So there's a mix there in that base emotion of both positive and negative. Does that make sense?
It does indeed, yes. And I think, you know, what you're doing there is you're narrowing down a whole plethora of emotions into some very key, you know, labels, I suppose, that people can use to understand how they feel in any given moment. And I think, like you say, when something, it's this, the thing is, I suppose, it's the speed at which things move. Someone puts something on your desk or makes a comment or sends a message, or you know, you read something online and it happens, the emotion happens, and then we react. I mean, what we are saying is step one in managing your emotions is, or two steps, recognizing them and taking a bit of a moment to pause before you react. But it's just that, I suppose it's just that sort of stepping back and seeing that that's what it is. That's most of life, is us feeling these things and then responding to them. And probably, if we're honest, not responding to them in the best way, or perhaps feeling something that we could maybe change how we feel. And it's that, you know, I know on the podcast we've talked about this before, it's like, you know, it's a thought. It's not, you can change that thought. You have the power to change how you think. That's the beauty of being human. We can do something about it. But
yeah,
we don't.
Yeah.
We
our
seem
thoughts
to,
aren't our reality,
our
are
thought
they?
It's not our reality. And the thing is, we can do something about it, but so few of us really realise that that's a thought, I don't have to have it. And that alone is probably the most transformative kind of mental health tool you can have. This is a thought, I can have a different one, even though it's so, so very difficult, I know. So we're talking about managing emotions, and we're talking about, we don't need to manage happiness, obviously that's a good thing, or I don't think we do. Let's talk about some of those ones that really, really do restrict us in life. Things like fear and anger and jealousy, and how do we harness those, and how do we turn those around, Carrie?
Well, it's one of those things. So first of all, and again, this is the part of behaviour change that we have to begin with. We've got to notice it. So usually we notice that we are seeing red, that expression, seeing red with lots of those emotions. And actually immediately, and we might not notice this, but we probably change our breathing. Lots of us hold our breath in anger, and we certainly can hold our breath in fear. And the body, as we've already said, really reflects what you are feeling somatically. So we might hold it in the throat, we might hold it in the chest. And so we have to notice and see what's going on for you. You have to become aware, as I say, of your triggers. So I'm going to tell you about something that I do with my clients, because I think this is a really invaluable exercise. So this is something, I'm a heart math coach, which I'm really proud of. I love heart math. And it's a very simple method with, at the basis of it, huge science. But the truth being that our heart communicates far more to the head than the head to the heart. And again,
interesting.
We all think that we are just this head, and these thoughts and these feelings that all come from our head. But actually, it is our heart that communicates to our head, and actually will decide, depending on the quality of that information and depending on our emotions, the quality of our response. So I'll come back to that. But what I ask
Okay.
people to do is the first part of understanding. I always say, where are you living? Yeah. So what emotions are you living in? So I encourage them to draw a cross down the middle of their page.
I would say,
and
we could get people to do that now, couldn't we? We could actually
yeah.
ask people to do it. Right. Okay. So if you're listening now, find a piece of paper. I'm going to do it right now. And a pencil. I'm hoping you've got one nearby. And you're going to draw a cross on a page. Okay. So we've drawn a cross. Now what do we do, Carrie?
Great. Okay. So now we're going to generally accept that right-hand side of
yeah.
that cross, these are going to be positive emotions. But
so
can you see
down.
Now we've got a quadrant top right?
Yeah.
Yep. So these are some of the things that we've talked about already. So up here, we've got joy,
mm-hmm.
happiness.
Top right, joy, happiness, yeah.
Passion.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing this down.
Love.
Yeah.
Kindness. You know, maybe pride. We go and watch one of our children perform in a concert. We've got pride. So these are all, I think you'd agree, quite high energy positive emotions.
I'm feeling good just writing them down. Yes.
Brilliant. Okay. So down the bottom of that,
mm-hmm.
we've got low energy, but still very positive
okay.
emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And, I, you know, as I said, this is a heart math tool, but
you,
it's so invaluable. So down the bottom, we've got things like serenity.
Yeah. I was just writing peace before
yes,
you even said
peace.
That. Because I was thinking, what's a low energy positive feeling? It's peaceful,
yeah.
isn't it? It's serenity. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So it's calm.
Calm. Mm-hmm.
And what HeartMath call flow and
oh,
inner balance.
Oh, yeah. Flow state. Mm-hmm. So you're
yeah.
just, you're going
and
through something.
And we've got maybe some good reflection going on, which again is good in itself because
mm-hmm.
we're looking at our behaviours. We're reflecting contentment. And this is
mm.
where we have tolerance for other people. So when I say that our emotions really affect our relationships and interrelationships, then obviously if we were able to be tolerant, the world would change. So
yeah.
that's low right. And incorporating top and bottom there, that equals high performance.
Doesn't it just because you're in a flow state? You're tolerant of others because you're feeling good about yourself. We all know when we don't feel good about ourselves is when we're mean.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're reflecting, you're calm, but you're also full of joy, pride. I mean, there is, yeah. Okay, so that's a high performance state. So
yeah, so
whether,
that's the right-hand
yeah.
side.
Mm-hmm.
And I should say, I'm going to say this again, you'll have heard me say it, we are all just a mass of chemicals.
Yep.
And either our bodies are working, so the chemicals are working for us, for our longevity, for our gut, for our mind health, our brain health, and you know, we're working really well, or it's not. But when we're in these emotions, we've got high DHEA, so
mm-hmm.
it's all about our hormones and everything working well, and the cortisol, which is that you know, the adrenal glands working overtime. They're low. Cortisol goes when we feel happy, as we were talking about in kindness. It's decreased by a massive percentage when we're kind and we've got good emotions. So let's now come to the left-hand side.
Oh, let's.
Right. we're going to talk about those really difficult emotions. So high energy, difficult
high
emotions.
High energy, difficult emotions. These are probably the worst ones. Right, up in the top left then, what are we writing down here then?
What would you write down there, Nicola? Give me one.
Anger.
Right, anger's there, yes.
Anger, frustration, fear,
yes.
Anxiety,
yes.
Stress. Oh, they're rolling off my tongue, aren't they?
Yes.
Anxiety, stress, jealousy.
Yes, jealousy's up there.
Insecurity. I'm trying to wonder what's going below now, though. So insecurity. So these are high frequency, high energy. We're feeling very
yes.
pent up and it's negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is where we make judgments.
Judgment,
quickly.
Judgmental.
This is where we feel resentment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, repulsion. This is actually where we feel, and goodness me, I see this way too many places, everywhere, overwhelm. Complete overwhelm. Your cup is overflowing.
That
you
feeling,
can't get anything more.
I talk about this when you wake up in the morning and all you can think about is how you're not going to be able to get through the things in the day, and what a negative start to the day. And so many of us wake up like that and think, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. And you know, but we take it as a norm. What's interesting, isn't it, as we're going through these, I know we've still got to do our bottom left, is that already I'm feeling how many of us habitually take that top left as our normative state and how we've almost normalized it as a way of living, which you know, we can talk about in a minute. Okay,
We can come back. I have a tool also for that morning anxiety and that morning feeling of overwhelm, but let's not do that. Let's see if we've got time. So
bottom
you can imagine
when
you're in overwhelm, when you're anxious, when you're hostile, your cortisol is going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so your adrenals are going mad. So, and something that people don't know is when we're having trouble managing our hormones anyway at different points in our lives, that the adrenals really come into place. Yeah, I often say that to lots of women struggling at different times, that we don't have any understanding of how the adrenals affects different times in life. So low-end emotions, we've got...
Give me some low end. Okay, so they're not high energy negative emotions. So maybe we're talking about things like just feeling sad and lonely.
Yes. Definitely.
Sad, lonely, hopeless.
Yes.
Sad, lonely, hopeless. Maybe what's a low level of fear? I don't know. Apathy, that's not a good emotion,
definitely.
Is it?
Definitely.
That's a terrible
emotion.
Boredom. Yep.
Yeah.
Apathy, boredom.
This is where we withdraw. So
withdrawing
is there.
Detachment, maybe?
Yes, definitely.
Right. Okay, so we're detaching.
Low mood. And often this is the point, Nicola, when we know something's wrong. We might be in a difficult relationship. I don't know, abusive relationship. And this is where we got nothing left. So this is sometimes where we're
burnout.
Submissive
as well. This is where burnout is, isn't it?
This is where burnout is.
You almost accept your fate. That's the kind of ultimate burnout, isn't it? It's just like, here is how it is. Collapse.
It's almost worse than the high energy,
isn't it? Because you've almost said this is how it is. Then there's no fight left.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. What a horrible list.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's low arousal, but you can imagine all of that side is left hand side. Those are the negative emotions.
And we're not performing well in those emotions, are we? We're not performing well at work. We're not performing well. In our relationships with our parenting, as a family member, in our communities.
Exactly. So the right hand side is where we perform high and all those things are in flow. Left hand side is where we are grating through the days. We're grating through the gears and life is really hard, often quite toxic.
And you know what? I mean, The sad thing and the sad reality is, I'm sure you feel this with people that you work with too, Carrie, is that sadly, given the uncertain, volatile and difficult times we've had over the last few years, many of us, without even realizing it, have moved on to that left-hand side. Perhaps we used to oscillate between the two a little bit, maybe a little bit more in the positive, but I feel like nowadays so many more people, well, and statistics tell us that anyway, have moved into that left-hand side. And it's a sad place to be. And as I said a few minutes ago, once behavior becomes a habit or mood becomes a habit, we can stay in that zone without even needing to be in it. That's not to belittle people who are, you know, suffering from clinical depression and generalized anxiety disorder. But for many of us, it becomes habitual, doesn't it?
Well, we get what we focus on.
Yes,
yeah. And that's not just an expression. That is, again, science. That's evidence. That's the law of attraction. That's the law of energies. We know that if we, you know, again, we were talking about kindness. We know that if we give out kindness, actually, the chances are we'll get it back. Because it's about the energy that we have around us. It's about the way that we start the morning. And you might wake up and feel, gosh, I've got a busy day, but it's actually, how do I flip that? How lucky am I to be able to have a day when I've got lots of people to see in it, right? You know, or God, I've got to cook dinner for everyone tonight. And I flip that most nights, Nicola, into
how
lucky I am that I am able to cook the people I love something really nourishing and nutritious.
I need to use that one, Carrie, when I'm looking at the fridge, thinking of how I'm going to feed, you know, little hungry mouths. Yeah, I need to. That's a good one. So we've got our four quadrants, and I think that
yes.
was, and I think, you know, for listeners, that will also be really important. You've got, yeah, I like how we've got our high energy and our low energy, positive and negative. And then you said you ask people to say where they live.
So I'm going to say, I will say to clients, first of all, right, we will do the exercise. I will ask them to draw it. And I will say just straight off the bat, but I'm going to ask you to do this exercise for a week and track your emotions. Straight off the bat, where are you living? And very, very sadly, most of them, in fact, almost when people start working with me, and I can meet people on the bottom of the rung, you know, I can meet them midway where they know life could be a bit more, or I can meet them at high performing. But generally, over the last year or so, when I meet clients, they are left-hand side. And before I even finish this exercise, they say, I'm living left-hand side. I'm living left-hand side.
And I wonder, so, are they living left-hand side top or bottom or moving between the two?
Predominantly top, I can tell you. You know, again, with hundreds of clients.
Mm-hmm.
But it does move bottom as well. So having established that, I will then ask, okay, so give me one thing that happened this week. Name the emotion that went with it and tell me where was it. So plot it on that graph for me. So that's the first thing I will say. So this gets people starting to think about, well, yeah, my mother-in-law called me and she just triggered me because she asked when she was coming to dinner and I only had her to dinner last weekend. And or, well, my boss just came and put an extra file on my desk and I'm not going home till 7 o'clock most nights anyway. This is going to mean I don't get a weekend this week. So I asked them to name the emotion.
To name something
anger.
That happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So name the emotion. Right. Where do you hold that? Where did you feel that? And usually they can say, I've got it in my chest. I can feel it in my gut. I can feel it across the top of my shoulders. And so I will say, okay, become aware of that, because what we're going to do, emotion, is move that through you. And we need to know how to move that through you. We can't just say that happened and leave it there.
And leave it in the body. Okay. So when they're all manifesting themselves in the body, they're just building up, is what we're saying, these emotions.
Toxicity.
So how do we move an emotion through the body?
Right. Many different ways. And so I will ask, I never tell clients anything. That's not my job. But I would say, okay, how do you think you can move yourself to a different state or a different feeling? Again, mood follows action.
Mood follows
action.
What action
do you think you could take to move you? And that, you know, people will give me a number of responses from, well, I just need to go and sit with my dog, or actually I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to get up from my desk and have 3 glasses of water to alkalize. Yeah. I'm going to shake. Shaking is an amazing way of moving energy through our body. Yeah. An amazing way.
Literally just shaking, Carrie.
Shaking your hands, shaking your arms, moving your head, hanging over, shaking, moving your shoulders, because we hold so much tension in our shoulders. And then similar to that, and I'm not a trained expert in this, but EFT, emotional tapping.
Okay, so tapping, I've heard and people talk about that. So tapping, the purpose of tapping is to release these negative emotions.
Yeah, they're acupressure points. So we have a number of acupressure points that would really help with this. Goodness me, I have an acupressure mat. I go and lie on my acupressure mat and I feel an immediate rush as the emotion comes out of me because I hold it in my back, 2 bands of muscle. So I could use a roller, I could go for a run, I could sit and breathe. And again, as a heart math coach, I would ask people, come to the breath, because in anger, in fear, in these big emotions, we stop breathing. And I don't care how you breathe, but just notice that you're breathing. Yeah, there are so many wonderful, this is another whole session we could do just on the breath.
Things we could do. But so I'm just, you know, we're starting to list these amazing techniques that we can do, the physical techniques that we can do to move emotions, negative emotions, out of the body. And what do we say to somebody that might be listening who feels a bit skeptical, like, I don't think so. You know, what, and you mean, you know, I am not a skeptic because I have read the science and the research about the body keeping the score of trauma, about how physical things can move, you know, can change trauma, can, you know, improve your life in so many ways when you get in touch with the physical self. But what can we say to those who are sitting, listening to us, moving this conversation on, to really believe that the body does hold these negative emotions?
Well, I'd say try it. One thing I say over and over again is you can choose to have what you've got, yeah, but you can choose to keep doing what you're doing right now, and sure as eggs are eggs, you are going to get what you've always had. So this is about being a little bit open-minded. It is, you know, I can't make a client come to me. A client chooses and has to make that call and has to be ready to change and want to feel better, right? So if somebody is completely stuck, then there's nothing that I can do to change their mind, Nicola. I can say, try it. I can say, what would you like to feel instead? How might
you like
be
to
able
feel
to
instead?
Get there?
Yes. Yeah? And I think that's pretty critical, isn't it? That concept of, and I talked about this in another podcast. It's about, okay, so if this is how you're feeling, instead of just saying, I don't want to feel like this, a much more productive thing to do is say, I don't want to feel like this, and I do want to feel like X. That's a bit I sometimes think people struggle with, to consider what it is they want, right?
Yeah, and that's what outcome would you like then? You're sitting there feeling low. You're sitting there feeling nobody cares about you. You're sitting there feeling rejected. So what would you like instead? And what could you start to do to get there? I don't know. Maybe that's a bath with beautiful magnesium, which calms the vascular system. And that starts to get you in a place where you're able to make appropriate decisions again. And, you know, one of the things I will say to people is, you know, we have to understand that with our breath and coming to the heart again, letting us be led by the gut and the heart. The gut talks more to the head than the head to the gut. The heart talks more to the head than the head to the heart. So use your whole body. It's not your head. Don't get stuck in your head. That's not where you reside. And we know that with these very high energy negative emotions, Nicola, what happens is we really need to include the heart, because if we were in fear and anxiety and the energy is here at the back of our head, then we make very fast, quick reactions, which we might regret. However, if we take that, God, he just really irked me. If we take that to the heart and we sit with it and we come to the breath and we understand what that's just done, and we say, well, what happened? He walked to my desk. He dropped a file. It made me feel worthless. It made me feel angry. What am I going to do about it? There's my golden space to make a difference here. So I'm just going to sit. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to breathe for 5 minutes. And that proper breath work will mean that actually this fear, anxiety, and emotion, one, it feels distanced. And that means that the decision making crosses to the frontal lobe, where this is where we should be making decisions from. Because, Nicola, this is where we make appropriate decisions that come back next week, week after, 3 weeks, we'd probably make that decision or that response again. But the reactive things that we're caught in fear and dread and anxiety, we make quick responses, yeah, or reactions. And actually come back next week, we'd be like, oh God, why did I ping that email off? Why did I do that? I was not aware. We've got to step back from our emotions. We've got to rationalize them. And one of the things my clients know, I say this over and over again about so much, but what is the truth about that? What's the truth about that emotion and feeling?
I think what you're saying really does echo something that's come up a couple of times in our podcast, and it's that realization that you are performing your best when you are in a state of relaxed, you know, sort of I won't say that happy, but you're in a calm, you're in a relaxed place, and you've detached ever so slightly from that, you know, the thing that's just happened. When we are reacting so quickly, it's not in our best interest or the interest of the situation that we're in. It's that high performance is going to come from a place of, you know, naming the emotion, feeling it, understanding it, trying to move it out of the body, and then thinking again. Is that what you would recommend to people in terms of how they take stock of things, especially if they're feeling stuck or feeling like they're maybe, you know, because I think that the point I was going to make next, which, you know, flows on to the question I've just asked, is what do we say to people who are in really crappy situations? They are in the middle of, I don't know, a redundancy, a very ill child, I don't know, a parent with mental health difficulties, a separation. Perhaps someone has all those things on their plate at once. And what, you know, what? How do you keep, not keep positive, but how do you keep on the right hand side? What do we do?
Yeah. So to your first question, first of all, I guess what we're trying to do is we're trying to operate. And this is my job as a coach. We're operating from a period or a place where we have perspective. So something I will always say to clients is you meet me here and we're both looking out on a lake. I'm looking out here, you're looking out there, and your view, because you're stuck in it so deep, is just here. So it's my job as a coach to move you around the lake to a different house, different location. And oh my goodness me, we then get a different view. We're able to step back.
I love that analogy.
That's what this process helps us to do. Now, that gives us perspective, that gives us objectivity. And, you know, I always say to people, you know, when they are in a deep, deep, dark place, and I know them quite well by this point. So it'll either be, what does your sister, or what will your best friend Janet, or what will your second mum say to you, and what would you say to them in that situation? Because people often are able to support others and help others when they can't support themselves. And look, Nicola, you know, we know people in deep, dark places. You know, I coach people in deep, deep, dark places of despair, and they've had the wherewithal to make that first call to get help. And I'm not saying everyone can afford or would even want to have a coach or maybe a therapist or psychotherapist, but look to somewhere for support, because we can't often always do this on our own. We need someone who changes the perspective, who challenges our thinking, who calls us out, and who is able to move us.
And it's all about connecting with people, which goes back to an earlier podcast that we did, Carrie, and that's about, you know, part of being kind to yourself is also connecting with other people and not shutting yourself off. And I guess we're coming full circle, because we're saying when you're in a place of darkness, when your feelings are, you know, so on the left-hand side, high energy or low energy, you feel hopeless or angry, whatever that unpleasant emotion is, it's usually because of your perspective on the situation. And actually reframing it by talking to somebody is one of the most productive steps you can do.
Absolutely. And that can be a sister, as I say, that can be a best friend. Sometimes it is difficult because family and people are stuck in it with you. So it does need to be somebody objective, somebody outside what's going on for you. But make that step. And I think that's why, you know, the first point for me is for people to become aware of your triggers and what's going on. So coming back to that grid, the way that I do that, Nicola, is I say to people, right, okay, I'm not going to see you for a week now. What I want you to do is I want you to track what's going on for you. So I don't mean I want you to make 15 entries a day. All my clients are busy people. So I say, when something has triggered you, either positively or negatively, I want you to go and put a little X1 on that grid. So it will either be in, you know, one of the quadrants, either right side, left side, put an X1. And at the bottom of that grid, I want you to put X1 and I want you to reference it with what happened. So put what happened. Again, what was the emotion? What did it make me feel? What just happened there, right? What did it make me feel? What was the emotion? What did I do about it? Because the what did I do about it makes us feel empowered. It's my job as a coach to empower people to know that you can change, you can move, you can feel differently. We can choose to move, we can choose to talk, we can choose to stay, we can choose to ignore, we can choose to boundary, we can choose to embrace. This is all about choice. You felt that emotion, somebody else triggered you. Do I even want to respond? What do I want? Well, actually, I want to take myself away and I want to just go and do a little bit of yoga, actually, because I'm not going to respond to that. Something I will often say, he laughs, actually. I say to my son, my younger son, who tends to have, you know, different types of anger, I will say, you can keep that. I can feel your anger, but I'm not taking it. So yes. It's an arrow, so, I can feel, but I'm not going to let it penetrate me. And I always say to clients, the target is, the aim is, the arrows are going to come. Don't let it penetrate the skin. We want them to be repelled.
And I think, you know, as we kind of summarize our session on feeling and managing emotions, it's that concept of reflection and choice. And it is easier said than done. Of course it is, because we're so habitually programmed to react in certain ways. But I think what we're saying is, if you're listening and if you want something to be different, then yeah, it's going to take a little bit of work, but it's not, you know, it's not rocket science. It's about awareness. It's about noting things down. It's about doing this for a little bit of time, and very quickly you'll become far more aware and you'll be able to start to flip things around a little bit, choose a different reaction, choose a different thought, choose a different emotion. And we're recognizing in this the very traumatic and difficult situations that some people have, but better to live through that situation on a slightly different plane, on a plane that's lifted up a little bit, rather than be right in the depths of it and suffering, I suppose. That's what we're saying. Is there, just before we finish though, I do want to ask, because, you know, people that I know what I do as a job, obviously, and sometimes people say, but you know what, do you not think we think about how we feel too much these days? And what would you say to that?
Oh, goodness. I don't think we feel about, you know, we think about what we feel enough, Nicola. You know, another separate conversation. If we don't know our triggers and if we don't know the emotions that they evoke for us, then actually, how can we then possibly know our needs?
Because our needs, another issue, isn't it? Yeah.
Our needs are often coming out of emotions that aren't being met and needs that aren't being met. So what we're trying to do with everything, with all of this work, is we're trying to upgrade. We're trying to empower you to feel in control of your life and to feel that, yeah, I am doing the best I can with what I've got. And, you know, I am aware of what's happening. Usually our values, again, massive conversation, our values are a big part of this. I'm living in alignment. I'm managing my emotions, so I'm in alignment with my values here. But I am also absolutely awake to my needs in life. Because if we're not awake to our needs, our desires, what's important to us, then we can't begin to have relationships with other people at work, at home, in the street. Yeah, we have to know our needs. And that's another huge piece of work. But it begins with recognizing our emotions. What's going missing here? Why does it trigger you? How do I change that?
And I think for many listeners, you know, if this all seems a little bit alien, then that's purely because we come from generations and generations of people saying, you know, shut those needs down and don't think about how you feel. And, you know, the drip, drip, drip of that for decades and centuries you know, generations has an impact. And so it's going to take us a while to say, actually, I think it's the other way around. And it's going to take a little bit of you know, fighting against the grain, I think. Thank you, Carrie. That's been absolutely fascinating. I think some of the biggest takeaways for me there are to really stop, pause and feel your emotions, then to name them, to recognize where they are. I mean, that quadrant's a fantastic thing. High energy positive, low energy positive, high energy negative, low energy negative. To think about where you live, and then to think about where it lives in your body, and to think about how we can do something about that. So thank you very much. We're very grateful to you for your time today. And I've certainly learned a lot. Thank you, Carrie.
My pleasure. My pleasure to be here. Thank you, Nicola, for having me.
Thank you.